You know, I did not know Arthur until the last months of his life. All I know of his life before is what he and his family have shared with me. I know from my time with Arthur that he was not, for nearly all of his life before, a man of faith. By his own testimony, he did not care much for church or for preachers or for things of a spiritual or religious nature. And yet, his wife, Kathy, was ever faithful to him, to their marriage, and to her Lord and Savior, Jesus. When this terrible cancer finally put Arthur in a hospice bed, he sent out a request through Brenda Story, who had kept in touch with him through the weeks as his illness progressed. And his request was that he wanted to meet with me and with Charles Jones and with Brenda. So we went to him. And his request was really very simple. He said, "I'm passing. I'm passing, and I have been thinking about things, about my life, and about what happens when I pass." He said, "I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized with my family gathered around. I want whatever is still good of my physical body to be donated to help people. And I want my ashes to be planted with a tree, so whatever I leave behind will be useful and beautiful to someone." So we arranged a time and his family gathered. And some of Kathy's church family gathered. And we baptized Arthur in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And during that baptismal experience, Arthur acknowledged and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, lest there be any among you who doubt the genuineness and authenticity of Arthur's 11th hour conversion, I offer this evidence of the advent of Christ in our lives is the settling in our hearts of the Holy Spirit. The moment that we say yes to Christ, justification occurs, and we say that we are saved. Now, that's true for all of us, and it's just as true for Arthur. When Arthur said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit set up shop in Arthur and began to work on a lifetime of separation from God. See, Arthur was the prodigal son, returning to the Father from a life of less than righteousness and holiness. And have we not all been there? And the Father embraced him because that's the way the Father is. You see, we can run far and fast away from God, but when we finally get sick and tired of being sick and tired, when we finally see that our way is leading to destruction and death, spiritual death, when we finally stop running and turn around in the direction of the Father, it is then we find that He is right there looking at us. We've been running, but He has been pursuing us the whole time. Ready at that moment to embrace us and take us back into His mercy and His grace and His love. And so it was for Arthur. How do I know? Well, on one occasion, I was visiting Arthur several days after his baptism, and as we talked, he fell asleep holding on to my hand. Now, after about 30 minutes, he woke up, and seeing I was still at his side, still holding on to his hand, he said, "You're still here." "Yes, Arthur," I said, "I'm still here. I didn't want to wake you by taking my hand away." And he looked at me with that gleam in his eye that he got when his sense of humor came to the surface. And he said, "Preacher, I don't care too much for men of the cloth. Never had much use for them. But I could get to like you if I had time." He then said to me, "I don't even know if I know how to die. I mean, do you just go..." And he did that 3 or 4 times in a row. And I said, "Arthur, you don't need to practice." Now, he chuckled a little bit. Seems his sense of humor was always coming to the surface in the midst of all that he was enduring. On another occasion, and I've shared this with some of you, but it bears retelling. On one visit, one of his hospice caretakers was present, a big African-American man named Mark. And as Arthur and I spoke quietly about his sadness in leaving so much undone, about leaving Kathy and his family behind, Arthur motioned for Mark to bend closer. And he said to him, "I just want you to know, I have been a bigot all of my life. I can't take all of that back, but I just want to say to you that I'm sorry and I love you." I have to tell you, that big, burly hospice worker got tears in his eyes, and he responded to Arthur's confession with these words. He said, "Don't you give it another thought. We serve a God who is bigger than all of that." And I have to tell you, my next thought was, "Well, wait a minute, who's the preacher here?" You want evidence of conversion. You want evidence of transformation. Confession, repentance, forgiveness, redemption. That's the Holy Spirit at work in the life of a believer. That is the track to sanctification. Next stop for Arthur was glory. In the last days of Arthur's life, I saw all of that. Forgiveness for himself. Forgiveness extended to family, confession and repentance, all made possible by the transformative power of Jesus Christ, made manifest in the life of a man by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, glory be to God, great things he has done. And so Arthur leaves us a legacy. Arthur leaves us his witness. Arthur leaves us his testimony that it is always the right time to turn back to the Father, because mercy is found there, grace is found there, peace is found there, love is found there, life is found there. All of it in abundance, all of it free. All of it ours for the asking. So why do we wait? Because you can live that freedom now. In this life. All you have to do is stop and turn around and walk into the open, loving arms of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.